A budget impasse persists as more federal workers face furloughs. Clearing weather allows U.S. combat troops to land in Tuzla. Russia's communists and nationalists score big in elections. Good morning, I'm Mitchell Krause for Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. More than a quarter of a million federal workers are expected to be sent home this morning because of the continuing deadlock over balanced budget issues. These employees were interviewed by affiliate WUSA-TV as they waited for their train in Falls Church, Virginia.
It could be worse. And so I'm just hoping for the best. I'm very optimistic.
And if you are sent home today?
Oh, I'll just sit back with the kids and just enjoy my home, really.
What would you say to legislators today?
Well, I just wish they could, you know, get things straightened out and, you know, so everyone can get back to work, especially with the holiday coming up. Nobody wants to be home, not getting paid.
This is Rob Armstrong on Capitol Hill. With virtually no movement toward a balanced budget over the weekend, the week begins with the government shutdown for the second time in as many months, and no indications of an early end to the stalemate. Last evening, White House Chief of Staff Leon Panetta met with a bipartisan group of moderates about their compromised version of a balanced budget.
Anytime you can get a group of Republicans and Democratic senators to sit down and work together, I think that's a good sign.
Within minutes of that meeting, Republican leaders summoned reporters to point the finger of blame at the president, Senate Budget Chairman Pete Domenici.
Why is all this going on? Plain and simple, the president told us 27 days ago he would submit to us for negotiations a balanced budget using the Congressional Budget Office.
Both sides said they expect more meetings today, but nobody's saying when they'll take place or who will attend. Rob Armstrong, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
President Clinton is planning to use his veto pen again today. Mark Knoller's at the White House.
In the latest round of the budget battle, the president intends to veto three appropriations bills that provide funding for more than half a dozen federal departments and agencies. Spokesman Mike McCurry says Mr. Clinton objects to cuts that two of the bills would make in funding for environmental protection, so he will veto the Veterans Administration and Housing Bill and the Interior Department Appropriations Bill. In addition, Mr. Clinton will send Congress back the appropriations bill that provides funding for the Departments of State, Commerce, and Justice.
Mark Knoller at the White House. It's 2.5 minutes past the hour. As the fog lifted, U.S. Air Force C-130s began landing at Tuzla Airport, bringing in American troops and equipment that have been blocked by the weather for the past 5 days. Air Force Staff Sergeant Dave Johnson was among those arriving.
I feel terrific to be in Bosnia because for the past week we've been trying to get to Bosnia in rather difficult circumstances. So here we are finally getting ready to do our jobs.
Cindy Kennard has more from the Bosnian city that's headquarters for the U.S. peacekeeping force.
After days of a frustrating wait, the C-130s were a welcome sight, mainly because they carried equipment to improve the airfield's radar system. It needs an upgrade, so up to 20 other U.S. military planes can land throughout the day today and land later in minimum weather conditions. U.S. Air Force Colonel Neil Patton.
We're getting it smoothed out now. The weather's cooperating, and we just continue to do things smart, to do things prudently, and get everybody in here.
One plane carried an airborne division, which will take up positions at the entrance to the NATO base to provide high security. That will officially mark the first time U.S. combat troops will assume positions on Bosnian soil. Cindy Kennard, CBS News, Tuzla.
Snipers have seriously injured and possibly blinded a woman who was aboard a tram in Sarajevo. A UN inspecting team is on the scene, but it's not clear yet who might have fired the shot at a crossing point where children head to school. About a third of the vote has been counted in Russia's parliamentary elections, and the outcome looks like another blow to Boris Yeltsin from some old foes. Jonathan Sanders reports from Moscow.
This morning, the Central Election Commission is showing the Russian Communist Party leading with more than 20% of the vote. Vote, that was expected. Surprisingly, the party of ultranationalist Vladimir Zhirinovsky is in second place. After voting yesterday, Gennady Zhuganov, the man at the head of a resurgent communist party, tried to show his statesmanlike, moderate face, saying the West had nothing to fear from his party. Many, like communist candidate Ion Andronov, believe it doesn't matter anyway.
This election will change nothing. You know very well that in accordance with new Yeltsin Constitution, the parliament absolutely powerless.
This vote is not so much about power as about popularity or lack thereof. As the final results come in through the day, leading politicians will be positioning themselves for the next contest, the real fight for power, the race for the presidential elections in June. That contest begins, in effect, today. Jonathan Sanders, CBS News,
Moscow.
A homemade videotape reportedly showing a close-up of the assassination of Yitzhak Rabin will be seen in Israeli living rooms come tomorrow. Jesse Schulman reports.
Israel's Channel 2 News is planning to air the tape in a special primetime broadcast tomorrow. That's also the day trial proceedings start against confessed assassin Yigal Amir. Editor-in-Chief Shalom Gital says the amateur videotape is the only original record of the moment Yitzhak Rabin was killed.
We are in the television business, and television business, you want to see how actually did it happen, what was there in the arena, and it's the only original way you can see it.
Gital isn't confirming or denying the price of the tape, reportedly around $333,000. As to paying at all, he said the rules always have exceptions, and this is one of them. Jesse Schulman, CBS News, Tel Aviv.
Another big telephone deal in the works. The Wall Street Journal says Bell Atlantic and NYNEX are exploring a possible merger that would create the nation's second biggest telecommunications company behind AT&T if the government approves. The so-called baby bells were created 11 years ago by the landmark breakup of AT&T. Mexican truckers have begun nonstop driving across the border to four southwest states for the first time under a provision of the North American Free Trade Agreement that has some people worried. A report from Jim Forsythe of CBS radio affiliate WOAI in San Antonio.
Concerns have been raised that Mexican trucks are too heavy and their drivers go longer without sleep than their American counterparts. But Texas Commerce Director Brenda Arnett says all precautions are in place.
We are hopeful that everyone will recognize that we are going to adhere to the law, and some trucks could be turned back if they are not appropriate.
Arnett says in exchange, American trucks will have wider access to Mexico, opening up more markets south of the border. Jim Forsythe for CBS News, San Antonio.
A woman who was given a near-fatal overdose of chemotherapy drugs is forgiving those who administered it following settlement of her case last Friday. Maureen Bateman received four times the proper amount of an experimental drug last year at Boston's Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, where three pharmacists and seven nurses failed to detect the dangerous dosage prescribed by a second-year intern. She says she's satisfied with the reforms instituted since her case and wants to concentrate now on getting well. Virginia McMartin, the principal figure in a seven-year court case that cost Los Angeles County $13 million, has died at the age of 88 of what police say were natural causes. She was the grandmother who founded the preschool where allegations of child molestation turned into the nation's longest criminal case. Charges against her were eventually dismissed. Systems problems have delayed the start of trading this morning on the New York Stock Exchange. The exchange says it's still trying to determine the exact source of the trouble. In Europe, the dollar was down. It's 10 past the hour.